Hello and welcome to Keyframe, the Geek Show show all about animation and cartoons. If it moves, we will talk about it.
Yes.
We are here today with me, Ben,
and
the
me,
beautiful Rob.
Yes. Hello, Ben. How are you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. I am pretty good. Yourself?
I'm okay. We're on our lonesome today. We're missing a day.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dave can't be here today.
Oh, it's a shame. Anyway, we do have all sorts of things to talk about today, starting with, I think we should start with Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yes. If you don't know this, a long time ago, MTV2 did a Celebrity Deathmatch, a claymation animation where they basically put two celebrities up against each other, usually using whatever's going on in the media as sort of jokes throughout the fight.
Yeah, it's curious. I'm curious as to why they've decided to bring it back now. Because that new Newsoids thing from the makers of Spitting Image has started, and oh my God, it's awful. Spitting Image was very much a product of its time.
Yeah.
Newsoids is just trying to... It doesn't have any of the anger or the bile or the vindictiveness of Spitting Image.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so the jokes are just completely flat. And I'm worried that bringing back Celebrity Deathmatch is going to be kind of similar to that.
Yeah. My main thought is celebrity culture isn't as big as it used to be.
Exactly.
Well, it's still big, but not in the way it used to be. Like, the scandals are now... They used to report on, like, every little petty thing that happened.
Yeah.
Now, unless someone's pregnant or someone's in rehab, it doesn't really get talked about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the whole point of Celebrity Deathmatch. It was supposed to be satirical about the whole celebrity culture.
And it was about the feuds that were going on between celebrities, but what's the last couple of celebrities you can remember there being a fight between? Exactly.
Mel Gibson and everybody else in the world.
I guess Justin Bieber and everybody else.
No, Justin Bieber and himself.
The fact is, celebrities now know how bad a coverage it will be if you get into a fight with another celebrity. So celebrities don't do that. Like, the most recent scandal I think they can do something on is Christian Bale and the guy with the light. That is the best thing I can think of.
Oh, actually, no. Clarkson. Clarkson's the most recent one, I suppose. Yeah. Punching the producer over cold food.
So the thing is, these are also just one celebrity and a guy. They don't really... There aren't these rivalries there used to be.
No, there aren't. I mean, they used to... I remember a time when celebrities used to try and dropkick each other.
Yeah.
It was so much more fun.
So, like, I don't know how well this will fit in with, like, today's society.
Thing is, well, the other thing as well, we've got so much satire already on the internet that's so much better.
Yeah.
And it's so much more immediate. As soon as somebody, some celebrity puts a foot wrong, there's going to be memes about it all over the place.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. It's going to be on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google+, and you'll see it all over. How is Celebrity Deathmatch going to compete with that?
Yeah, it's just, I'm not sure how well it will work. Voldruth, I'm kind of excited.
I am kind of excited because, like, I did like Celebrity Deathmatch.
It was a lot of fun at the time. I hope to God they stick with claymation.
Yes.
Like, if they go to, like, CG or something, it's not going to be as fun.
No. Did you ever play the PS2 game?
No, I did not.
It was not very good.
I can imagine.
It wasn't very good, and the celebrity roster was just kind of, I don't like you anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, We'll watch that with interest.
Yeah. So, when was the last time anyone saw anything on MTV? I didn't even know it was still going.
I don't watch MTV. I don't even get MTV, and I'm actually quite happy about that. So, yes. Sorry, MTV. It's not that I don't like you. It's just, well, actually, I don't like you. All right. Bye. Right. Moving on.
It's not you, it's me.
Exactly.
I can't stand you.
Exactly. Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yes.
Or Kung Fu Pansy 3.
Everyone loves Kung Fu Panda, the first two movies, big hits.
The second movie was surprisingly much better than the first one.
Yeah.
And a lot darker as well.
Yeah.
I am curious about it.
One of the first times I've taken Jack Black kind of serious as a...
As an actor, yeah.
Yeah. Like, not saying that he's a bad actor or anything. It's just, this is the first time I've seen him put in a role that has quite so much depth, and he did really well.
Originally, it was slated to be released on March the 16th, 2016, but now the date has been pushed forward to January the 29th, 2016.
Okay. This could either be a good thing or a bad thing. Either they have done so well on production that everything is going so fluently that they're absolutely fine for the to push it forward. Or they're getting pressured to push it forwards to avoid the release of some other thing, and they might have to half-ass some things to get it out on time.
Well, it's being directed by Kung Fu Panda veteran Jennifer Yu Nelson, and Jack Black's going to reprise his role as Paul.
Yeah, well, you have to.
But
did you ever see the TV show that was obviously a guy doing a Jack Black impression?
Yeah.
That
it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, some interesting names being thrown in here for Kung Fu Panda 3. Rebel Wilson, I'm not sure if that's his real name, but Rebel Wilson, Bryan Cranston, and Seth Rogen are also set to lend their voices to the martial arts comedy.
Yeah. So he has got a bit of a an all-star cast.
Yes, it has.
By the way, Rebel Wilson is a Australian stand-up comedian.
Oh, that should be good then.
Yep, like that's good because Kung Fu Panda always has the humor to it as well.
Yeah, having a good stand-up comic in there will do the movie, will serve the movie very well.
Yeah,
but yeah, the ending in Kung Fu Panda 2 with the whole thing with his dad, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. It's kind of heavy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, is this going to be a battle of the dads next? You know, is it going to be a cook-off? Like, you know, like that food fight that's just started on Food Network?
I do worry about this movie just because the last one was so good.
Yeah.
Like, that bad guy was amazing. The jokes were completely bang on. Like you said, the drama was really good. It's a pretty high bar to hold yourself to.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
If they do a third How to Train Your Dragon movie, which I honestly don't think they should do.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think they should do another How to Train Your Dragon movie. I think they should just leave it.
Tell the truth, I didn't think they should do a second one. I was like, I thought the first one ended at a nice point. It did. Yeah. But they went a completely different direction with the second one.
A really good direction.
And that worked really well. If they can do that again.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be, same with Kung Fu Panda, they are developing the characters, not setting them back to zero.
It's nice to see animated movies doing that these days.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see that. I mean, it's something that I think DreamWorks dropped the ball really when with Shrek.
Yeah.
Because they had an opportunity to do that with Shrek, and I think they've learned from their mistakes.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier to set the character back to zero and have them do the same sort of things, face the same. Because it's hard to write an underdog when you've had them overcome their problems.
Yes.
And so now companies seem to be putting more effort in trying to develop the character further beyond, show what new problems occur.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like Pixar did with Frozen.
Yes.
Disney Pixar did with Frozen. They developed Anna and Elsa in a way that a lot of people didn't expect. And I think that was one of the reasons why it was such a massive runaway success almost. Yeah. Because I mean, the two of them were basically, you can imagine sisters having a relationship like that.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what I think. That's one of the things that Frozen really encapsulated very, very well.
Yeah,
you know, relationship dynamics in Frozen are very impressive.
Yeah,
you know, very well thought out. Anyway, moving on, segueing in nicely with that Pixar one, we've got a couple of pieces of Pixar news. Number one, Inside Out is going to premiere at the 2015 Cannes Film Festival.
Yes, if you don't know, Inside Out is a movie all about the little guys in your head that control your emotions.
Yes, the voices in your head are real.
So,
you heard it here first.
From what I can gather from trailers and stuff, it's about the happiness and the sadness, trying to get back the happy memories this girl has and that have sort of been lost.
Yeah. I'm actually curious. I am very, very interested in this movie. Psychology is one of my hobby subjects, as you guys already know.
Yeah.
And it's the main reason I'm interested in this movie is just because I've not seen much like this in any in live action cinema, or in books or in video games. It's an unusual approach to a movie.
And the thing that interested me is the different take on the human body. Because every cartoon at some point has had that episode where they shrink down and go inside a body.
Oh, God, yeah. Fantastic Voyage was, I think, the first one to do that.
So, it's become a trope now. But the way that the bodies set out, the way that everything works in this world is very unique compared to them. It's not like, this is the lungs, look at the air coming in and out. No, this is, it will have a load of like oxygen pumps or something. It's like the memories is like a system of tubes carrying the memories and stuff. And it's very interesting how it's doing it.
Yes. Oh no, we're being sucked in by the sphincter.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
Exactly. Anyway, moving on. Disney are looking to do more live action adaptations of their classic movies.
Yes, this time, as everyone knows, Maleficent and recently Cinderella came out.
Beauty and the Beast is getting a live action adaptation.
They're so far getting great acclaim. They've been getting really good reception.
This one I am very, very curious about because it's one of the much darker stories.
Pinocchio!
Exactly. I got no strings.
Yep. Do you think that's why they're doing it? They've just... Avengers pumped out that song so much, people started looking into it.
Oh God, yes. Actually, that's a very good point.
It was a genius piece of cross-promotion.
Yes, yes. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Live-action Pinocchio, just on the back of Avengers, live-action Pinocchio is going to make a killing.
So just like, I like the end where he turns into a real Ultron. that's how the story ends, right?
Yes. Oh, that's really cool.
So, it's one of the darker stories.
Is he visited by a blue fairy?
Yes.
Known as Dr. Manhattan.
Yes. Tell the truth, I just want to remake Pinocchio with Marvel characters now. I think it would be genius.
Oh, I'm just thinking about this.
Like Tony Stark is Geppetto.
Yeah, it's all work. It really would work as well. You know, who'd be the ringmaster, you know, when with the circus thing?
Yeah.
Oh, Galactus would be the whale.
Yes. Ringmaster, who's the guy out of Iron Man 2 with the whips?
Oh, him, yes. Yeah. Yes. It was,
I'm having trouble remembering his name.
Because he was kind of like Omega Red, but without
the... I think
his
name's like Whiplash or something.
Yeah, Whiplash.
Although Omega Red would be a good ring leader as well.
But I thought Omega Red was going off to be Tarzan.
Anyway, we're getting a bit off topic. Anyway. So it's going to be interesting what they do because Maleficent was quite dark.
Yeah. It didn't do well at the box office, though, did it?
Oh, it did incredibly well.
Did it?
Yeah, it did really well.
Oh, sorry, not the box office. On the critical reception, I should say.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of complaints, but for the most part, it was still classed as a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had these complaints, but still rated it highly because... It was still a great movie, despite their complaints.
Yeah. I mean, it was more. It was quite a spectacle movie.
Yeah.
You know.
It's going to be interesting, but how dark are they going to go with it? Because, like, the original story is very dark. I remember there was a live-action movie before that was quite brutal.
Yeah.
But the cartoon version's fun and happy all the time.
Well, the cartoon version did have some darkness to it.
Yeah, well... know? The thing is, it's a very dark story.
The whole thing with him being turned into a donkey.
Yeah. Even at its very, like, child-friendliest, it's still a dark story.
Yeah. Have you noticed there's been this weird thing with kids' cinema? Because during the early 80s, when you had, like, Labyrinth and Neverending Story and stuff like that, kids' movies were quite dark.
Yeah.
And then you had this period in the 90s when political correctness was reaching its zenith, and you had all these, you know... All these really, really safe vapid kids movies.
Yeah.
And now it's going back to, you know, introducing much darker tones to kids movies.
I have this conversation a lot when I talk to people about the Avatar cartoon.
Yeah.
Kids are capable of taking trauma.
Yeah.
It's natural. They can understand it and it holds real depth. Like, a lot of people say, oh, Avatar's not for kids because of these moments that happen. Korra's not for kids because of these moments. But I'm like, no. Kids know how to deal with that stuff.
Yes.
In fact, this is good for them because they learn to deal with this stuff.
Yes, exactly.
And it puts real weight behind actions.
I agree with you totally on that.
But, like you said, political correctness, went mad, and everyone's like, no, we need to protect the kids. This is too much.
Won't someone think of the children, says Rosemary O'Donnell. And yeah. Like, oh.
So, you know,
speaking as a mother, I mean, apparently the phrase speaking as a mother means that you are then the authority on everything.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of a mother, I think we should have a 6-cylinder engine in this car rather than an 8.
Yes. Like, it was the phrase of like the early 2000s.
Oh, you still hear it? Like, no, like, in my opinion, as a father.
Oh God, yes. You know, which means your opinion sucks.
No, it just means I have a child. That trumps your point for some reason.
Well, is this top trumps? Do you, you know, if you have a kid, does it immediately trump everyone else?
Oh, it's kind of like
is it like
Cards Against Humanity? If you get the biggest, blackest dick, you've won.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it like Galactus in Top Trumps?
Yes.
You know, in the Avengers, in the Marvel superheroes, Top Trumps. If you have a kid, it's like Galactus,
an instant win.
Yeah.
I like that it's going back to a bit more dark stories because
kids are a lot wiser to the world these days.
It's more engaging.
Yeah.
Because, like, as a parent, like, you can go to these movies and enjoy them.
Yeah.
Because they're not pulling their punches and they're not being all fluffy and friendly and boring just to please kids. They're doing significant things that you can enjoy. So as a parent, you should enjoy these too.
This is very true. Right. Anyway, we're moving on to... where were we moving on to? Yes. Unreal.
Yes. When you think of 3D animation, who do you think of?
I think of Pixar and DreamWorks, and I also think of Production IG because they've done some really good CG stuff, especially with Oblivion Island. There's a couple of Japanese firms that have done some really good CG work, but
what about Epic Games?
Epic Games,
i.e. the guys behind stuff like Unreal Tournament and
also Valve. You know, the filmmaking stuff that Valve do is actually pretty good. But Epic Games, no.
Well, they are now... Recently, the UDK development kit went free to use for everyone.
Was this... that was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, around the same time that Pixar released RenderMan.
It was before their act.
Was it before
actually,
then?
Yeah. And now they are pushing to get more video content developed on Unreal.
I can understand why. I can understand from the business perspective why they're trying to get more people to make films on Unreal on the Unreal Engine. But if you compare the Unreal Engine to, I mean, it depends on whether using any of these programs, using any of this software, is dependent on whether it's actually fit for purpose. If you're making a film, sometimes it's just easier and simpler to just get a camera and some actors.
Yeah.
You know, it really is as simple as that.
But if you are making a 3D animation...
If you're making a 3D animated film, and this is basically trying to get filmmakers...
Yeah.
You know, if you're making a 3D animated film with characters that could easily be replaced by actors, then you're basically just making more work for yourself, effectively.
Except, like... If they are using screenshots of realistic people because they want to go, hey, look what we can do on our engine.
Yeah.
But... If you think of it like as cartoony characters that can't be developed, in 3D animation, you can build the entire world for your characters. Now you don't have to source a set. You don't have
That's what I was about to say. For stuff like more cartoony characters, for science fiction, for fantasy, even sometimes for horror.
So even just live action.
Yeah.
Finding a place to be can be hard. Getting permission to film in those places.
Yeah, sourcing locations is difficult, trust me.
If you can build your own location, that's not a problem.
Yes.
I know from using UDK, it's very simple to build entire worlds. I'm not quite sure about the animation side of it, since I'm more involved in the art side.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea as well, because the more there is out there, you know, the more it encourages people to do stuff. And at the end of the day, that's what we want. You know, we want more people to be doing stuff like this.
So it's also the fact that I remember looking into RenderMan.
Yeah.
For me to use my models in that, I use 3ds Max. I then have to import the files over to Maya, then save them out as a Maya file, and then I can put them into RenderMan.
Although when the news broke about RenderMan... going free, You and Dave, the amount of drool coming off you two.
Yeah, well, we're really excited.
Exactly.
So,
it was a very Homer Simpson moment for both of you.
Should have seen the drool when UDK was announced as well.
Yeah.
We're very excited about these sort of things.
Yes.
So, it is very easy to use.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that you could make movies in there. But it's been so established as the game engine, people aren't thinking of it in that way. That's a shame because you can... The lighting systems they have, the... Yeah.
It's going to be a difficult thing to... perception to shift. I think it'll take a little bit of time. And it'll take effort from people who are championing UDK. I think it'll take a lot of effort on their part.
So I think what they have to do, because this is exactly what Valve did,
yeah,
was release movies made in it.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Like, everyone had seen the meat, the trailers for each of the things. They even did the big zombie bread thing when they announced it. And oh no, they did the pyro when they announced it, but they've released movies since. They showed what this what the movie maker was capable of. So far, we only really see the games. So if you bring out some official videos made in UDK, that could go a hell of a long way to showing what it's capable of and sort of getting more people to use it.
Absolutely. Right, we're gonna move across to the east a little bit, but segueing us along the way is news that Funimation is launching an app on PlayStation 4.
Yes.
It's a streaming service that is going to be available in the US and Canada, but I reckon if it picks up, then they might actually release it in Europe. And if they do, that will be wonderful for anime fans.
Yes. Of course, Funimation do a lot of anime. Like, Bakano is one of my favorite animes of all time. It's done by Funimation.
It's licensed by Funimation.
Yeah, licensed.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so much that doesn't actually make it to the UK.
Yeah.
There is so much that doesn't actually make it to the UK, but does make it to America. And some brilliant titles as well that won't get... this is one of the reasons why the companies here in the UK, Anime Limited, Manga Entertainment, MVM Entertainment, I love MVM Entertainment because they are looking for other sorts of titles. You know, they brought Michiko Tohachin over, they brought... Usagi Drop over. They brought Fate Zero for crying out loud. You know, manga are really starting to pick up manga with Animatsu.
Yeah,
as it is now, I suppose. But they're really starting to source some newer stuff as well. Anime Limited is looking at some of the classic stuff and also some of the new stuff as well. Kill la Kill, for example.
Yeah.
So. There's this wealth of stuff, a wealth of anime out there. And if Funimation kind of gets in on the streaming act, you know, people are still going to buy the DVDs. It just encourages them to buy the DVDs if they can watch it on the PS4s.
When anime DVDs are expensive.
Yes.
So I only really buy them if I find them on the cheap or I adore the anime.
Exactly.
And the more accessible a thing is, the more likely I am to get into it, the more likely I am to buy it.
Yes, I totally agree with you on that one. Right, moving on. Toei Animation have introduced Saint Seiya Soul of Gold. It's the latest chapter in the long-running series, and it launches in Europe following its television and online debut. Now, for those of you who don't know what Saint Seiya is, it's been around for longer than Dragon Ball, and it's still going strong. There's video game adaptations, there's a CG movie of the first story arc in Saint Seiya. It's going to be debuting globally. It debuted globally on MIP TV following its April 10th premiere on the Bandai channel in Japan and Daisuke in Europe, excluding the French territories. Saint Seiya tells the story of Athena. Athena is basically the goddess of war and wisdom. In this world that Saint Seiya is set in, Athena basically is the protector of the world, but she is then protected by the saints. And there's an entire structure of a warrior class called the saints There's the Bronze Saints, the Silver Saints, and the Gold Saints. The Gold Saints are basically the highest order, and there are 12 of them based on the signs of the Zodiac. And they protect Athena from all sorts of threats, including, you know, her little sister, Mars, the god of war, various things like that. And Saint Seiya is... the original Saint Seiya was the story of Seiya, who basically becomes... Sagittarius. He became the Sagittarius Saint.
Yeah.
But it's action-packed, and they kind of... You know, Fist of the North Star, right? Had the... Hokuto no Ken had the whole kind of super fast punching stuff that Dragon Ball nicked later on.
Yeah.
Right. Saint Seiya has this thing. You know the whole idea of you shouting your attack and then doing it?
Yep.
That pretty much came
from... I love my wife, Pudge!
Yeah, that pretty much came from Saint Seiya, not Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball nicked it, and Akira Toriyama used it, but it basically came from Saint Seiya. In terms of the whole shonen superpower type thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Pegasus, Ryusei Ken, and it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, so it is one of the long-running...
It is. It's been around forever.
Like, and one of the base, and, like, shows, really.
It's the baseline show, yeah.
Because a lot of people got their inspiration from this. They took stuff. Even if they don't know that that's what they're copying, they've copied from a guy who copied it.
Yeah.
From a guy who copied it. It's got a lot of the standards we now think of.
Yes, absolutely. And the whole thing about suddenly getting a new power up, that came from Saint Seiya.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't come from Fist of the North Star. It came because Kenshiro was always just Kenshiro.
Yeah.
He didn't suddenly develop this new power up and have new abilities. It came from stuff like Saint Seiya.
Yeah, so I'm really happy it's getting some more love.
Oh, God, yes, because the CG movie they did, it wasn't bad. In terms of the animation on the CG movie, it was really good.
Yeah.
In terms of animation and stuff like that, it's just the story was just, it didn't capture you. It didn't draw you in.
Yeah.
You know, the character animation was sometimes a little bit shonky. Generally, it was all quite good, though. But it's just kind of, yeah. Anyway, moving from Soul of Gold to Solid Gold.
Yes.
Segue. celebrating the gold. You can celebrate the golden age of Kamen Rider with statues of solid gold.
Yep.
I got dibs on the bigger one.
You can pay for it. So basically,
I may dress as Kamen Rider and steal it. No, I won't.
the Japanese precious metal dealer, let's see if I can pronounce this, Tokuruki Honten.
Tokuriki Honten.
Are now unveiling their new Kamen Rider statues made of solid gold.
Yes. The smaller version is 100 millimeters, 3.94 inches tall, and it weighs 35 grams, and retails for 770,000 yen, or US dollars. The larger version is 200 millimeters, or 7.87 inches, tall, and it weighs 100 grams, 3.53 ounces, and it retails for 5,550,000 yen, or $45,567 US dollars.
Just right, I'm trying to work out the how much this will be in pounds.
Yes.
The small one would be 4,297 pounds and 83 pence. The larger one will be 30,990 pounds and 83 pence.
30,900 pounds? Basically 31,000 pounds for a solid gold statue of Kamen Rider.
Yep.
You have to be
worth it!
I was going to say, you'd have to be a super fan to... No. You'd have to be an ultra fan.
Yes. So the thing is, looking at like scale, it's probably more worth to get a bunch of the small ones.
But then again,
than the one big one.
7 inches is about... it's almost 8 inches. So it's about this big off the table.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm using hand gestures, but about just under 8 inches, so... £31,000 for a solid gold statue that big. Actually, that's not a bad price.
Well, you can drop that money if you want.
When I'm rich and famous. whenever that may be in my mind. Right, anyway, we're going to move on to...
Very cool, unique idea, yeah. And it's probably going to make a bomb.
probably, yeah. There are lots of Kamen Rider fans, including that guy in the States who patrols the streets dressed as Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
Who needs Batman? Or the Yeovil Ninja.
Yeah.
I might take him more seriously if he dressed as Kamen Rider. And he might actually scare more or pensioners if he dressed as Kamen Rider. Anyway, moving on to Bort the movie. No, Bort the movie. Yes, yeah. It's not
Boruto.
Boruto, that's
it. Yeah, you can't say that without thinking Bort.
Yes, my son is also called Bort.
Yeah. We are out of Bort name tags.
Yes.
Anyway, a trailer has been revealed for Boruto the Naruto movie.
See, if it's Bort, then that means Naruto is actually Nart.
Yep, fair enough. So, this is going to be a movie all about Naruto's son. Like, at the end of the manga, they released, like, hey, Hinata and Naruto got together and they had a baby called Boruto, because they can't think of original names. And, of course, fans went crazy for it. There's a planned manga series, and now this. He's getting a movie that's probably testing the water to see the reception for the characters and stuff. And that might lead to a series of Boruto.
As long as he doesn't run around shouting Databayo. Did Naruto ever stop doing that?
He still did it, just not as much. It felt right when he was saying it. He wasn't just blurting it out every 5 seconds.
Okay. I will forgive him then.
So yeah, we got to look at, like, old castle will be returning. Obviously, Naruto, Sasuke will be back, as well as some of the new faces that are going to be about. It's quite a short trailer, but I'm excited. Like, as many gripes as I had with Naruto, I still enjoyed it. And I'm happy they're going a different direction rather than just carrying on the series forever.
Yeah.
Like, the other week you were talking about Bleach, and you was like, it was ruined by the fact it continued.
Yes, 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 yes. It just kind of, yes. Anyway, one last bit of news, maybe.
Yes.
It may be the last bit of news, it may not be. A new Devilman anime is going to launch this fall.
Yes.
Actress is going to produce a new anime series based on Gonagai's classic horror action series, Devilman. Don't know, are you familiar with Devilman?
No, I'm not.
Okay, Devilman is basically demons are invading the world, and a couple of humans decide they're going to try and do something about it. One of them becomes Devilman, who's basically half human, half demon.
Yeah,
and he goes around killing demons. It's very, very brutal. It's very, very brutal. It's quite gory, and it involves lots of body parts being chopped off. It's also one of those ones that almost got chucked into the same category as Legend of the Overfiend.
Yeah.
Almost, except Gonagai is... He didn't go down the tentacle route, let's put it that way.
It's cool that these... A lot of series that you wouldn't expect are getting series and stuff.
Yes.
And it's cool kind of branching out on the sort of stuff. Even though Devilman kind of sounds like everyone's first ever OC.
Yes.
Like he's part demon and he goes and hunts the other demons. And it's forever filled with the conflict in his soul about killing his own kind. Yeah, every kid made that character up.
Sorry. Oh, Ben, this is why we love you.
Fair news.
It's just kind of, it just came out of nowhere, that voice, didn't it?
Oh, no, that is forever my guy who's too young to understand what actual drama or anything is, but thinks he understands.
Yes. One interesting little bit of news that has literally just come in. The Tale of Princess Kaguya, right?
Yeah.
The UK trailer, just the trailer, has been nominated for the Golden Trailer Award.
Oh. Well, I guess that makes sense. It would be just the trailer. It wouldn't make sense if they were like, here is the entire movie.
Yeah. And Edge of Tomorrow also got nominated.
Yeah.
Because the trailer for Edge of Tomorrow was actually pretty good. But I've not heard of this Golden Trailer Award.
I guess a lot of people focus on movies.
Yeah.
But there are some great trailers. Do they also do adverts? Because there's some amazing adverts out and about.
Ah, they should really, shouldn't they?
So, yeah, it's cool. I mean, if you haven't seen the trailer, it is pretty damn good. So, yeah.
Also, just the final bit. This actually does tie in with a story that this actually is based around the story that you brought up earlier. Momoiro Clover Z.
Yeah.
Basically, they've donned Dragon Ball costumes and duked it out in a music video based on Dragon Ball Z.
Cool.
So yes, Dragon Ball really gets everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's unstoppable.
You know, next thing you know, there's going to be new Dragon Ball remover. Removes the Dragon Ball from your home.
Have you got pesky Saiyans leaving dirt all over your house?
Yes.
Has Yamcha fallen through the ceiling
again? Who's the one who does the Silabang stuff? You need him.
Hi, I'm Barry Scott. Kamehameha, and the dirt is gone.
Yes.
Hey, you. Yes, you. No, not you. You. You should listen to our TV show. It's called On the Box. Just tell them Andrew sent you. Also, you can go listen to it as well.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Keyframe. And we're going to get into some animation reviews.
Yes. This week, I've been watching an anime called K. Very hard to Google about this one.
Yes.
Like you just put in K.
Actually, there is a way to do it, because when it was originally released, the full title was K, Memories of Red.
See, that would be nice to know, but it does not show that on the title screen.
No, it doesn't.
Like, I was looking at the disc trying to think, and it's just a giant K.
See, I had exactly the same problem when I was looking at it. I was like, I don't remember something called K. I remember Memories of Red,
yep.
But I was like, I don't remember K, so I tried Googling it.
Also, all their advertisements for it is two Ks back to back, so I thought it was KK. No, it's just K.
Yes.
So, a bit confusing. But anyway, the story is about a guy called Yashiro, who is just everyday normal school boy. He's just going through classes. How many reviews start with this? He is just an everyday guy, just getting on with his studies, doing his normal thing. Until suddenly a group called Homura start hunting him down and basically gunning for his head. Ends up a video has been leaked of a good friend of Homura called Tatara being murdered by Yashiro. And now Homura want to kill him to get retribution for killing their friend. Another group called Scepter 4 are trying to hunt him down to try and de-escalate things by killing him before Homura basically take over and destroy the world. And he's being hunted by a third party, a guy called Kuro, who is there to judge if he is fitting to take on the throne of the colorless prince, the colorless king even.
It all sounds very complicated.
It is a bit, but basically what it boils down to is this guy gets into trouble with superpowered beings who all believe, because of a video of a guy who looks like him, that he has killed this man. So everyone is trying to kill him to get retribution. Through this, he finds out he has a magical cat who, like, turns into a person, just has magical powers. And he basically goes through and he's trying to prove his innocence to Koro, and basically prove to the world that he didn't do anything while he's being hunted down. He's searching for the truth of what happened without getting killed first. There's a lot of twists and turns, and it is kind of hard to follow because it does sort of just drop you in the middle of this world without explaining a thing. Bits and pieces get explained, but not much. Like, it's never really explained why people have superpowers. The king system, there's just apparently seven kings, each one with a different color, each one with different abilities, and they just do their own thing. Except it's interesting to see interactions. Like, Homura are the red guys. They are very sort of street thug. They're all in hoodies and stuff. One of the main guys in it goes around skateboarding. I'm pretty sure there was just one guy who wanted to make a skateboarding anime. because
yeah.
there are scenes of animation that is just so bang on with the skateboarding. It is amazing. Yes. There's also very interesting fight scenes with skateboards.
It's was it really well animated then?
It was. Like, for the most part, there was, as always in anime, there's certain parts where things went a bit... But when they spend a bit of budget, you can really see it.
Yeah.
And then even for the most part, it's really well animated. And you sort of get to learn, like, characters in each section so they're not really seen as bad guys.
Yeah.
No one's really the bad party here. Everyone has been wrong.
What about the character design? You know, I mean, you said that there's this kind of... there's this faction and this faction and this faction. Did they make any distinction or did everyone look like the thug?
He's very distinct. Like I said, Homura is very sort of street wearing hoodies and hats, skateboarding and stuff. Sector 4, that's the Blue Army, are very like militarized looking, like uniforms. They all carry swords. They're all very, even the way they act is very militarized. Yashiro is school uniform. He's just normal guy. Although he does carry a parasol and a cat.
A cat, a parasol, and Gakuran. Mm. That's an unusual combination.
It's very easy to define the factions that are at work. You always know what's going on and who's with who. And it's amusing, it's funny, it's well animated. It's a good story. Like I said, it can be a bit confusing, but if you stick with it, things get explained.
They do get explained.
You have to... Like, some things you just have to gather by yourself, but they give you enough information for you to sort of gather it.
You can infer it then, yeah. Okay, but it does explain other things, though.
I'd say it's a good show. I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
I thought Neko was hilarious as well. Like, a chase scene where it's like, she can make illusions and stuff.
Yeah.
And when this guy's going through, it's like... Oh, you've made an illusion of a wall. I'm just going to go through it because I know it's an illusion. I'll just run straight into an actual wall. And Neko just stood there laughing. I'm like, yeah.
I'd laugh at that as well.
So, yeah. Okay. I enjoyed it. If you can find it through the name search, good luck.
And if you can't, then try Memories of Red.
Yeah. Good job.
I think there's a manga continuation of it, something to do with the color blue.
They might cover Scepter.
Yeah.
Say we're the blue group.
Yes. Anyway,
there's actually a lot of backstory between those factions.
Yeah,
and they only sort of touch on it in this. You get the idea. You get what beef they have with each other.
Yeah,
but they don't go full in depth.
Yeah,
I like it.
Cool. That's from Manga Entertainment, wasn't it?
Yes.
Right. Moving on to one that was recently that's recently out from Anime Limited or All the Anime or. Whatever they're called this week. Is it Anime Limited or All the Anime? I can never be sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is a classic anime.
Throw the dart and it'll choose for you.
Yes. This is a classic 1987 animated movie from Japan called Royal Space Force, The Wings of Honeyemis. Right. Now, in an alternate Earth, there's a flourishing industrial civilization. But there's also an impending war between two bordering nations, the Kingdom of Honeyemis and the Republic. Shirotsu Ladat, he's a member of the Royal Space Force. Now, the Royal Space Force in the Kingdom of Honeyemis are basically, they are kind of the military rejects. They're the ones who are unmotivated and unwanted. They're kind of like the... what's the word? They're like the appendix of the military, you know, that vestigial tail that's left over from evolution. That's what they are. And they have this dream. Their commander has this dream of putting a man into orbit. And he spent so many years trying to achieve this goal. The very first scene is basically the funeral of one of their colleagues who died in an accident. And Shiro, as he's called by everybody in the anime, he turns up late and out of dress uniform, and it moves on from there. He gets chosen to be the pilot for the space mission. And the military, right, the military actually want a war with the Republic. So they choose the launch site, and they put the launch site close to the border so that the Republic will actually think it's an impending attack by the Kingdom of Honeyemis.
Yeah.
you know, giant missile being built right at the border. Who's not going to think that it's that's a potential attack? You know, so Shiro and the rest of the Royal Space Force guys aren't aware of this, though. They're basically just going through what they normally do, and preparing, preparing for the launch. This is one of those. I've got to say, this is one of those movies that came at an unusual time in the history of anime, because it was late 80s, and late 80s anime movies are very, very unusual in their approach. You had things like Akira, 80s anime movies in general. You had Laputa, you had Nausicaa, you had Akira, you had various others around that time. Wings of Honeyamese is one of those that it's very much encapsulating something that, you know, reached its zenith in the mid-90s in anime.
Yeah.
And it's only now that the anime industry is starting to turn around and look back and realize there was something that they had almost fully captured in that kind of 10-year period from around 1985 to 1995. You know,
yeah.
In that 10-year period, they'd found something. And, now it's starting to come back to that. Royal Space Force is, let me put it very simply, an excellent movie.
Yeah.
It is an excellent movie, and this DVD release looks much, much better than the original release. It's very well voiced. The character designs are a little dated compared to modern anime, but it shows you the difference.
But yeah, it was a product of its time, yeah, so its styles were based on that.
It shows you just... thing is, when you look at this, it kind of highlights just how much uniformity is in anime now.
Yeah.
Because they put in the effort to make the characters look different, all that time ago. And now there's a lot of kind of same faces, same facial shapes, same types of face, you know, kind of regurgitated character designs ad infinitum. In this one, character designs, all of the characters look completely unique. You're not going to mistake one character for another.
Yeah.
Shiro is, at the beginning, and for most of the movie, he is an idiot. He's the kind of person that you want to punch. And there is one thing I will warn people about in this. He does try to rape somebody.
Fun.
He doesn't succeed because she knocks him out. And the reason why he does it, it actually does kind of explain he's out of his depth. He doesn't know what he's doing. People are trying to kill him because he could potentially be the first man in orbit, which means he would then go down in history.
Yeah.
And the people from the Republic, who also have their own space program, don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he's basically completely out of his depth, and he has no idea what to do. And he's being helped by a young woman who is a believer in God, and spends her time leafleting, trying to get people to believe in God. Whereas he used to spend most of his time in the Red Light District.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So, I'm not using that as a justification for that. It's just basically, this is something that happened in the movie.
Yeah.
But he does grow as a character by the end of the movie. Things happen, people are killed, and they launch a rocket with a man on the very top in the middle of a war zone.
Ah.
And I'm not going to tell you what happens after that. So If you're into classic anime, this is a must watch.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies that I would say to anime fans in general, if you're wanting something science fictiony but don't want to go all the way into sci-fi, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's got enough real world parallels and enough historical parallels for you to be able to really be able to sit down and enjoy it easily.
One thing you said, if you're an old anime fan,
a classic anime, yeah.
How do you think like a modern anime fan would find it?
No, I'm saying there's modern anime fans who love classic stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying
as a modern fan, you might find the character designs a little intimidating. The animation is really well done. You know,
yeah.
It's really well animated. They do kind of overplay the comedy a little bit. You know, the character animation when it comes to the comedy side of things.
Yeah.
They do overplay it a little bit, but it's still well animated.
Yeah.
And it really holds up well. The DVD really holds up well in terms of the animation. Character designs, they may find a little intimidating because it's not what they're used to. But the story itself is solid. The story is very, very good.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I want to highlight with this, though. Number one is the extras. Right. The extras are fairly standard. It's the 1987 theatrical trailer and then a couple of other trailers for this. But there's the third one is one that I haven't actually seen before. And it's the original theatrical pilot for the movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for the extras. The languages are English, French, and then Japanese with subtitles.
Yeah.
English dub is good. The music in this is very good.
Cool.
It's very, very good.
Yeah,
very well selected.
Old animes used to like really spend a lot of effort on
that. Yeah, they did. The music in this is very, very good. And I think this is one of those movies that is more about joining Shiro on his journey. You know, it's more about experiencing his journey as he gets put, you know, on his way to getting put on top of that big rocket.
Yeah.
You know, modern anime fans or younger anime fans, I'll call them. Well, maybe not. That's not the right word. Fans of modern anime, there's things to like here, but it might take them a little bit more effort to like them.
Yeah.
But if you're a fan of classic anime, if you're a fan of stuff like Rugen Z and Riding Bean, hell, even if you're a fan of Akira,
yeah,
you probably will warm to this in a way that modern movies just can't seem to capture. It's like sitting down on a big pillow,
yeah,
you know, and getting comfy. It does have action. It does have a war happening in it, but you kind of know that it's all going to be all right.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Or at least you hope it's all going to be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Royal Space Force Wings of Honeyam is available from all the anime right now. And, yeah, I recommend it. I do heartily recommend it.
Okay.
Right. I think that's us done, isn't it?
Yes. We have been Keyframe. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for The Geek Show. Hit us up on Twitter, @TGS_TheGeekShow. Find us on Tumblr. The Geek Show.
Yeah, find us on Google Plus as well.
Google Plus, The Geek Show. I'm pretty sure you can go to MySpace and find us, The Geek Show.
No, strangely, you can't find us on there. But you
Pinterest,
can find
The
us,
Geek Show.
You can actually find us on Pinterest.
Oh.
And you can also find us on My Anime List.
My Anime List, The Geek Show.
We have a club on My Anime List.
Anyway, I have been Ben.
I have been Rob.
We will see you next week.